जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Grantharachya Mudbhagatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, Narada and Angira instruct King Chitraketu. Well, it says text 5 on the board. So we will include 5, but technically we're on 6. I'm going to do a few verses. Because it's here, we'll recite this. Vayam chatvam cha ye che me तुल्यकालाश्चराचराः जन्ममृत्योर्यथा पश्चात् प्राण्यैवं अधुनापि भो। Thank you. Would you like to reserve? Vayam chatvam chaye che me tulya kala chara chara janma mrityor yata paschat pranayam aduna pibo. Ladies, please. Vayam chatvam chaye che me तुल्यकालाश्चराचराः जन्ममृत्योर्यथा पश्चात् प्राण्येवम् अधुना पिबो वयं च त्वं च ये चे मे तुल्यकालाश्चराचराः जन्म मृत्योर्यथा पश्चात् प्राण्येवम् अधुना पिबो वयम् वी द ग्रेट सेजेस एंड द मिनिस्टर्स एंड एडहेरेंट्स ऑफ द किंग च एंड त्वं यू च आल्सो ये हु च आल्सो इमे These Tulyakalaha assembled at the same time. Chara acharaha moving and not moving. Janma birth. Mrityoho and death. Yatha just as. Paschat after. Prak before. Na Not. Evam, thus. Adhuna, at present. Api, although. Bho, O King. Translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth in this situation did not exist. And after our death it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It's like a dream. A dream does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakens. The period for dreaming exists only between these two. And therefore, it is false in the sense that it is impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream before the dream takes place or after it is over. And so during the dream or during a dream-like situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is real knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास हरिगोवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So first of all, we'd like to welcome our guest. Thank you for joining us this morning. What is your name, sir? Bhaskar. And this is nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us. We're discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6. This is a place where Narada Rishi and Angira Rishi have both come because a king by the name Chitraketu is very sad. He's very sad and he's crying like anything. Although he's the king of the world, he's crying like anything because his child was recently killed, died. He doesn't know that he was killed, but the child died. So for parents to have this event occur, that their children or child may die, is very difficult. And the child died because this king had 10 million wives and he had no children, no son. So he was very, very sad. So after trying and trying and trying, nothing worked. Then Angira Rishi came and he gave him a blessing. All right, you'll have a son, but this son will be the cause of happiness and distress for you. So Chitraketu heard happiness, he didn't pay attention to distress so much. He said, no problem, no problem. And before he knew, his whole attention was to that son and the wife, Krutadyuti, because she gave birth. So all the other 10 million minus one wives became very envious. And they said, this fellow is always with her, is always about the son. So they gave some poison to the child and killed him. Why? Because they were feeling neglected by the king. So the king is crying. He stopped all his kingly duties. Everything has come to a complete standstill. And because the king is crying, the queen is crying, the ministers are crying, the servants are crying, the whole palace, the residents, the citizens, everyone is crying. The whole environment has become morose, sad, pathetic. And in the middle of this, these two personalities, Narada Rishi and Angira Rishi, have arrived. And they're trying to bring the king out of his misery. And the way they bring him out is to tell him that this world is temporary, but the soul is eternal. So there are a few messages. Now if we carefully observe, this verse follows exactly Lord Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita. The only difference is that this verse focuses on the temporary nature of things, and Krishna's verse focuses on the eternal nature of the soul. But the same thing. There's no difference. This is how the Bhagavad Gita begins in the chapter 2, text number 12, where Krishna says, there has never been a time, nor there ever shall be, where you, me, all these kings shall ever cease to be. So he's talking about the permanence of the soul, which also implies the impermanence of the body and the impermanence of the situation. Whatever situation we're in, it's temporary. If you're too happy, that's temporary. If you're too sad, that's also temporary. If it is too cold, it is temporary. It's not cold yet. This is nothing. Polar vortex is about to arrive. So we offer all our respects to Jitendra Prabhu because he's the controller of that switch by which everyone will feel awesome. The polar vortex is arriving. So, but that is also going to go away. In due course of time, it's going to get warm, spring, summer, and then fall, winter again. These things just continue. So Krishna's message is, because these things are anyway bound to happen, can anyone say, Chicago, no more winters? We can say, people will laugh at us. Perhaps we'll laugh at ourselves, but we can't change anything. So Krishna's first lesson is, hey, there are some things outside your control. Correct? There's something, not just some things, pretty much everything is out of your control. But especially things like climate and happiness and distress, these sort of things are all out of your control. All you can do is learn to just tolerate it. Tam sthiti kshasva bharata. Just tolerate it. Now, there are two ways of tolerating it. One is you somehow bear with it. You don't like it, you bear with it. And you complain. You whine and all that. Or another way is you tolerate it with knowledge. That, oh, I know, this is going to change anyway. And if you tolerate it with knowledge, if we tolerate it with knowledge, the advantage we have is we can go about doing our real business. Correct? If we are whining and complaining, then we not only are going complaining and whining, but we are also not going about our business. We're just too busy blaming and complaining and wasting our time. So Krishna says, just tolerate. Don't worry, just tolerate. So he says, Matra Sparshastu Kanteya. Matra means simply by or by contact, sparsha, of the senses with the sense objects. For example, eyes are the senses that like to see form. Ears are the senses that like to hear sound, etc. So for the eyes and ears, the most pleasing things are form and sound. Now, can any one of us control that only nice things that I like should appear in front of me? Even if we try, it doesn't work like that. The forms that appear in front of us are of all varieties. In fact, whatever appears changes also. Or the sound. The sweetest sound for a person is glorification. Others should say nice things about me. Can I control that everyone should say only nice things about me? I can't. So this is something outside my control. But if I say, no, only nice things, it's not going to work. So Krishna says, Matra Sparsha. It's because of contact of the senses with the sense objects, you experience happiness or distress. That is it. There is nothing else going on there. Neither happiness nor distress is in the object itself. That is why some persons, when we see, we are happy. And if something goes wrong inside our mind, the same person we see, we don't like them anymore. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. So Krishna says, just tolerate. Learn to tolerate it. Learn to tolerate means that don't give it too much attention beyond necessity. For example, it's cold. We don't give it more attention than this. We put on warm clothes and that's enough. That's it. That's how we tolerate it. So our sense objects are in contact with our senses. We move on. We do what is necessary. But that for that, we need to understand some things. The difference between what is eternal and what is temporary. Now here's the problem. The problem is that we can't distinguish what is eternal and what is not. In fact, not only can we not distinguish, we actually accept the opposite. We accept everything temporary as permanent. And everything that is permanent, we're not even aware of. So we accept this body, our money, our house, our family, even life in this body, etc., as permanent, because that's what we're working for. And any sign within nature, there is enough sign and signals, if you will, signs and signals to tell us, Haribol, it is not permanent. It is going to end. The skin starts wrinkling, the hair starts graying, the teeth start falling, the joints start hurting. And we say, no, 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 little medicine, everything will be open. Little hair color, forget it. Botox, everything will be tight. Because we feel, oh, it must be permanent, it must be. So usually when we talk about this, we narrate the story of Lomhasa Rishi. I like Lomhasa Rishi. Lomhasa Rishi was a very hairy Swami. He had a lot of hair. And he had a benediction with that hair. Now, of course, some of us might feel envious of Lomhasa Rishi if we don't have hair. We had a lot of hair. And he had a benediction that his hair will not fall. Only one hair will fall in one day of Brahma. That is in, wow, that is fantastic. In 8 billion years, one hair will fall. Hardly noticeable. That means, and he will not die as long as there is hair on his head. What does that mean? He has a very long life. Very, very long life. So he used to sit outside in the heat, in the rain, and do his meditation. So his disciples told him, Gurudev, it's too wet, it's too hot. Can we build you a nice bhajan kutir? You can sit inside and chant. He said, don't waste time. Life is too short. Because Lomhasa Rishi understood that it doesn't matter how long the hair on the head is, it will come to an end. It will come to an end. And so he said, life is too short. Because the more important thing to do in life is to cultivate one's eternal life. Too short. Don't waste time. And here the sages are saying, what are you crying about? This situation is temporary. If your son did not die now, he will die sometime. In fact, you may not be there also to see it or be there. But everything is temporary. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityo. This is a principle in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna speaks it right in the beginning so that there's no confusion later. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityo. The word dhruva means certainly or definitively. So anyone who's born will definitely die. Dhruvam mritaha janmasya. And one who dies will again definitely be born. Iti parihare arthe natum shochitum arhasi. So this is anyway a phenomenon that you cannot change, Arjuna. Just nothing worth lamenting. So that's what the sages are saying. Very temporary. Don't waste time. Of course, they're not saying it so brutally, but they're trying to bring him to a platform of knowledge. So now they talk of impermanence of the circumstances. And Prabhupada in the purport says, just like a dream, before we go to sleep, there is no dream. When we go to sleep, there might be a dream. And when we awaken, the dream's gone away. So this material life, or within this material body, is a condition like a dream. It doesn't exist in the awake condition. So we are in a sleeping condition. What is that sleeping condition? Ignorance. The ignorance removes the sense of identity. For example, in the material context, there may be a king. He may be the emperor of the whole world. But when he goes to sleep, he doesn't remember that. His identity goes away because of ignorance. When he awakens, he remembers, I'm the emperor. Similarly, the soul, who we are, is in a sleeping condition right now, owing to ignorance. And in that ignorance, we dream. I am such and such, this is mine, this is my family, my car, my possessions, my this, my life, my world, my whatever. And when the soul awakens back to self-realization or Krishna consciousness, that sense of loss of identity goes away, the dream goes away. Now, our only situation is that our dream is quite long. Sometimes in the dream, you know, if we are being chased by someone or being persecuted, if our heart beats up, we become thirsty, sometimes, we wake up. So it seems factual, it seems very real. But when we wake up, it was a dream. We drink water, go back to sleep. So this dream is like that. It makes it look... So the only difference is the Mayavadis say, there is no material world. And the Vaishnava understanding is, there is a material world. It's just not permanent. And because we interact with this world, although we are awake, we are in a sleeping condition. Sleeping is a sort of consciousness is in a dull condition. So the next verse, he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under his control, causes creation, maintenance and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or king to see the public's welfare. And he annihilates through agents for killing, such as snakes. The agents for creation, maintenance and annihilation have no independent potency. But because of the spell of the illusory energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer and annihilator. And then this purport, very simply put, that everything happening in this universe, the creation, maintenance and annihilation, is all happening by Sri Krishna's potency. However, Krishna is not interested in the temporary world. It's just happening by his potency. And there are many agents of those activities of creation, etc. For example, the verse says that a father begets a son or daughter, and the father and mother think, our child, I have created. But the creative potency is Krishna's. The father and mother are just the instruments through which another soul comes into this being, into this world. Or the maintenance is done by the system of a government or a king. The ability to maintain something comes from Krishna. And finally, the agents of annihilation, like snakes or whatever, different ways. Nowadays, there are many. They're just agents. So Prabhupada quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. We think, I did this. It's mine. I did it. So there are two types of agents, or two classes, two categories of agents. One category is the, what I'd like to call, the unconscious agents. And the second category is called conscious agents. Unconscious agents are those who are under the spell of the mode of ignorance. Vimudha atma. Vimudha means bewildered, covered by ignorance. And although they are acting as agents, they are not aware that they are agents of Krishna's energy. They think, I am doing it. And then there are the devotees who are called the conscious agents. That they are aware that I am an agent of Krishna. I want to be an instrument of Krishna's. It's like driving a car. When we are driving a car, who is moving who? Is the driver moving the car, or is the car moving the driver? It's the driver who's moving the car, as long as the driver is conscious and alert, so he can maneuver the car, he can slow it down, he can speed it up, he can turn it, stop it, etc. At the same time, when the driver loses attention, texting, talking to someone, spacing out. And anyone while driving space out? All the time, especially long drive. Because a person is unconscious at that time or not aware, the car is moving them. So it's a on and off situation depending upon whether one is aware or not aware. Very simple. So most of the time, we're not aware. And so the material energy is moving us. And wherever she moves us, we go. Makes us crash against the wall. Distress. Gives us a nice something. Happiness. We're unconscious. Material energy is driving us. Therefore, Krishna says, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Yantra means machine. This material energy is a big machine. And it moves. It moves all the living entities with it. And for those who are not conscious, especially Krishna conscious, then the material energy moves them. Although they are sitting in the controller position, driver's seat. It's not that the driver's absent in a car. The driver's always there. Just not aware or conscious that they're driving. So what happens when a driver is not conscious? They become vulnerable to accidents. And accidents do happen. Of course, accident can also happen when one is a little conscious. So this analogy has its limitations. But you get the idea. One who's aware and alert and driving carefully, they're in control of the car. And one who's not conscious, the car is in control of them. Although they are sitting in the driver's seat. That's the point. So this verse is where out of ignorance, vimudha atma, all those in this controller's position, controller means the soul is controlling the body in that sense. Yet, seems like the body is moved by something else and the soul just moves along. And he's thinking, I'm doing. But who's the real doer? The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So idea that they are presenting to King Chitraketu is that these things about who is born, who is dying, what happiness one will get, what distress one will get, these are already ordained. This is determined by the laws of karma, which are being controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who himself is aloof and disinterested in the workings of these things, but it is his energy. So you're not in control of it anyway. How do you know what are the workings of God? Then the next verse, let me pause. Any questions or comments so far? The first part being the temporary nature of everything, and so you need to learn to tolerate. And the second aspect being that the goal of human life is to move from being an unconscious driver to a conscious, willing driver. Understanding that we are instruments of Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru. Given that everything is temporary, to what will a devotee react? When will he not tolerate? When will he choose to react instead of just remaining neutral or kind of passively enduring something?
Well, okay. Chairing the discussion. Tolerate does not mean don't respond. It definitely means don't react. Reaction is an expression or is a push from the mode of passion. Responding comes from goodness. So circumstances can bring about anything. So there are different levels of tolerance. Let's say the fruitive worker, if you will, his tolerance is out of resignation. That I cannot do anything, what to do? I just have to tolerate this thing. And so in the tolerance, he goes through a lot of suffering. A jnani is also tolerant, but his tolerance is from what you call neutrality or indifference. I am not this body. Neutral. I don't have to respond, I don't have to react, nothing. They come and go. A devotee's tolerance is different. A devotee's tolerance is in the middle of all the circumstances, he continues his service. That is his tolerance. But he will still figure out, he or she will figure out how in this circumstance can I be of service to Krishna. So the attention is not to the particular situation, circumstance, whatever the temporary thing. Attention is still on the service, whatever that service is, hearing, chanting, something. Whatever is that service, is fixed on service. Did I share the Anantacharya story? Oh, so in Ramanujacharya's, I've been talking about this story, so I've said it almost two or three times. I just don't remember where I've said it. That point, Ananta Acharya, okay, now I'll just go to the story. Ananta Acharya was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya was sitting with all his disciples in Sri Rangam. And this is 800 AD, between 800 and 1100 AD, so many, 1,000 years ago. And he was just reading about the glories of the Lord, and a particular section is the glory of Lord Balaji. And he says that Lord Balaji is residing in a place called Tirumala, Tirupati. And his particular attraction is for fresh, fragrant flowers. And by the way, if you ever see Dwalaji, he's always decorated in like the most exquisite flowers and diamonds with flowers. So Ramanujacharya paused for a moment and said, is there anyone who would like to go to Tirupati and create a beautiful garden of fresh flowers and offer them to Balaji every day? Nobody said yes. Why? Because one was, no one wants to leave Ramanujacharya's association. It's so amazing, every day hearing and chanting with him. Who wants to leave? And the second thing was, Tirupati at that time was in the middle of some severe wilderness, up on the hills, extremely treacherous topography, cannot get to where you want to go. The hills were bad, the animals there, serpents, whole thing. No one wants to go there. One person raised his hand. He said, Gurudev, I will do it. This was Anantacharya. Now, Anantacharya said it not because he's arrogant or I'm better off than anyone, but in his mind he understood, this is my Guru Maharaj's desire. And I would like to serve him. So Ramanujacharya said, okay, go. So Anantacharya went and somehow reached Tirupati and he created this nice garden, beautiful fragrant flowers every day. Of course, when I say beautiful fragrant flowers, perhaps we don't know what that means because we don't get them here. We have no idea what fragrant flower really means. If you're in India, at least I come from India, maybe other places too, but in India, the flowers are just fantastic. Colors and fragrances. For example, if you take darshan in Juhu, the altar is far away, you stand here, and Radha Ras Bihari are wearing jasmine garlands. You're standing about 15 feet away, and the whole place is smelling of these beautiful jasmine flowers and roses, and it's just so fragrant. Here we have to put Vrindavan scent and push it into everyone's nose. Yes, something. The flower and fragrance are totally disconnected. It's like the soul in the body, just no connection. So Anantacharya, he went. And others came, he made them his disciples, and they were together serving. One day, when Anantacharya was plucking flowers, a deadly cobra came and bit him. And his foot started bleeding. So his disciples, they ran, said, "Let's do something, Gurudev, please, let us do something. This is dangerous." He said, "Don't waste your time. Continue with your service." Then they said, "What do you mean? Continue? If this is poison, it might kill you." So Anantacharya, his consciousness is such that he said, "If the poison in my heart is greater than the poison in the cobra, nothing will happen to me. If the cobra's poison is greater, then I will die. And if I die, I will take bath in the Vaitarani river." You know what is Vaitarani river? It's the river that separates the material realm from the spiritual realm. We call it the Viraja river. I will take bath in the Vaitarani or Viraja, go into Vaikuntha, and serve Balaji with flower garlands. If I am alive, I will take bath in the Swami Pushkarani. He created a pond. I will take a bath in the Swami Pushkarani and make garlands for Balaji. I'm making garlands for Balaji. I'm making garlands for... How does it matter? Just continue your service. What a fantastic level of consciousness. And they couldn't fathom what he was talking about. In his mind, it didn't matter. Service or service? Service or service? So that's the devotee's tolerance. Like, they're not neutral or, I shouldn't say anything. It's just their focus is somewhere else. So that's the tolerance Krishna wants Arjuna to come to, that go beyond the sense and sense object marriage or contact to focusing on what's on hand, that is service to Krishna. And for such a person, then the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita says, so amrutatvaya kalpate. Such a person receives or lives eternal amrita life, a life of eternity. That's the devotee's tolerance. Nice story of Anantacharya, very inspiring. I like. Raktak Prabhu. The story of Anantacharya continues actually, there's more ecstasy in it.
Is it true, like, that the Lord has no desires for the material world?
Lord has no desires?
Like Lord Krishna, yeah, the material world, no desires for it.
There's no desire for them. No, I can't say that, because it is by his desire that the material world manifests. He doesn't have material desires, yes. But it is by his desire that the material universe is created. Svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. So he has a desire to create the material realm because we have a very strong desire to be in the material realm without him. That is why he lies down in the causal ocean in Yoga Nidra and creates from his dream this entire material cosmos. The Brahma Samhita says, Yoga Nidra. It's conscious, but it is his Yoga Nidra.
So he does it for our benefit. I mean, for our desire not to
he
be with
does
him.
It, yeah, that's correct. He does it. Simply put, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Jitendra Prabhu.
I was thinking about tolerance, and I remember the story reading Srila Prabhupada. I was in New York taking the subway, and there was a limited amount of seats, so people were scrambling for the seats, and Prabhupada is just the, you know, observer, and he saw these people fighting over a seat, you know, really getting bent out of shape, and then one of the persons got the seat, and he was only sitting there for like several stops. He created all this disturbance over just sitting there for several stops, and Srila Prabhupada was like, "Wow, they're just fighting, and they're only going to." They're not seeing that they're just going to be there for a very temporary, short situation of maybe discomfort, and they put themselves in more discomfort about arguing over some little trivial matter. I don't know if you ever remember reading that story.
No, I don't remember. But this verse is talking about that.
Yeah.
It's like we're on a train journey. We're sitting on a train, and there are people sitting next to us. We talk to them, we exchange phone numbers and addresses. Sometimes we even exchange food. Oh, what are you eating? No. We share newspaper, this, that. But when their station comes down and they get down, we don't cry piteously. Because we know when their station comes, they will leave. Or when my station comes, I will leave. Similarly, it's part of this journey. When someone's station comes, we move to the next destination.
Hare Krishna.
I want to... Oh, go ahead.
I'm just trying to tie in with you saying that he is aloof. So, what is the function of him being aloof?
His aloof is his... Here it says... Just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he's not interested. And the verse translation in the beginning is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Krishna knows it is temporary. So he's not interested in the sense that he doesn't invest his energies of his pastimes, per se, within that which is temporary. He's aloof from it. We, on the other hand, we're not aloof. We're very engaged. We're very engaged in the temporary. Krishna is not engaged in the temporary. He's engaged in the eternal. So he's engaged with us as soul. But he isn't so interested in whether this body or that body. So I'll give you an example, and maybe that will help. Let's say there's a devotee who's doing some service, and they meet with what we call untimely death. Now, from Krishna's perspective, it's irrelevant, death or not, because he is moving the soul from this service situation to that service situation. Now, for us, it's a whole different thing. We read it very differently. Right? We say, oh, how can Krishna do like this? Suddenly they are so nice. How can they just... I thought the Vaikuntha plane will come for them. And I read some... Krishna is already doing something, but we don't know. Because our frame of reference is completely based on the impermanent paradigm of things. So we see things very differently. Krishna sees things very differently. That's the point he's making. And the call to action is to see it the way Krishna sees it. Said differently, for example, when a mother wants the child to take some medicine, Prabhupada used this, she would put the bitter medicine within a gulab jamun and give it to the child. The child is thinking, I got gulab jamun. And the mother is thinking, he got medicine. Very different. Same thing is seen differently. So I want to continue Ananta Acharya's story because we left it a few minutes ago. The reason Ananta Acharya's glories are described because there was one devotee After Ramanujacharya, Parashara Bhatta became the Acharya for the Sri Vaishnavas. And Parashara Bhatta, when he was discussing some things, one person raised his hand, one devotee, and asked, "What are the qualities of a devotee?" So Parashara Bhatta told him, "You should go to Ananta Acharya and ask him this question." So he sent him from Srirangam to Tirupati. He didn't answer the question. He said, "You should go to Ananta Acharya." So this man went because he was very interested. So when he reached Tirupati, Ananta Acharya was busy with some festivity. So they invited him nicely. It was prasadam time, so they rolled out the mat. They gave him a seat right next to Ananta Acharya. Ananta Acharya, they made him sit nicely. And Ananta Acharya said, "Oh, you've come here for a particular purpose?" He said, "I have a question Parashara Bhatta asked me to ask you. I want to know, what are the qualities of a devotee? Who is a devotee?" And Ananta Acharya heard him, continued with his prasadam, got up and left and did not answer. So he just said, "Okay, whenever he wants to answer, he'll answer." So he waited. So then a few days passed by, then there was another festival. And this time, when the mats were laid out for prasadam, this Prabhu thought, "I'll also get to eat prasadam." As soon as he sat down, one of the devotees came and told him, "Don't sit, get up and serve everyone." And our serving is not buffet style serving, it's the bend down, you know, Vedic style serving, which is really intense. So he served hundreds of guests, and he was tired. So then they said, "All the servers can now eat prasadam." So he sat down. As soon as he sat down, another person came and told him, "Don't sit, get up and serve all the servers." Okay. And he served all the servers. By this time he was exhausted. And he sat down he was the only person sitting down with a leaf plate about to eat. Then told him, "Don't sit here, sit near the door." Generally you don't make anyone sit near the door. It's like an insult. Sit near the door. Okay. Picked up his plate, sat down near the door. Another devotee came and said, "Don't sit here, sit outside." Sent him outside. Okay, he went outside and had prasadam. So then, again, few days passed. Ananta Acharya did not respond, did not say anything. And he was still quiet and waiting that someday he will answer the question. It's described because Ramanujacharya had set an example. Previously, when Ramanujacharya wanted to know the 8-syllable mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, his teacher told him, "You go to Goshtipurna." So he walked all the way from Srirangam to, I think, Kanchipuram. And Goshtipurna did not answer the question. He said, "Go away." You know how we saw that Gaurakishore Das Babaji sent Bhaktisiddhanta away many times. Like that, Ramanujacharya walked back and forth between Srirangam and Kanchipuram 18 times and he was refused. "Go back. I will not give." He came 18 times, he walked. Because he was very eager to receive this mantra. After that, he gave it to him. So he waited. So finally, Ananta Acharya said, "Oh, you have a question?" "Ah, finally. Yes, I want to know what are the qualities of a devotee of Krishna." And Ananta Acharya said, "Oh, a devotee is like a crane, a hen, like salt, and like you." Turned around and went away. Didn't explain, no purport, nothing. And he didn't get audience again. So he went back to Srirangam. So Parashara Bhatta said, "Hey, nice, welcome back. Did you have a nice trip?" "Yes." "Did you ask your question?" "Yes." "What answer did you get?" "A devotee is like a crane, a hen, like salt and like you. Can you please explain this to me?" But then Parashara Bhatta smiled and explained. He said, "The crane, you see that it's a stork or crane, stands in the river or a lake on one leg, and he stands still like a statue. He doesn't move, but he's observing in the water. He lets the small fish pass by, doesn't do anything. A little bigger fish comes by, he doesn't move. Then the medium-sized fish come, doesn't move at all. Then the big fish, they see all the small fish are going and there's no danger. They think, no danger, right? We always wait for someone else. You go first. If nothing happens, then I will. So then the big fish, they come. Oh, everything is safe. And as soon as the big fish come, boom, he takes them out of water. So I said, the devotee is like that because there is happiness in the mode of ignorance, the small fish. He doesn't touch that. Happiness in the mode of passion. No, no. Not necessary. Because happiness in the mode of ignorance is misery in the beginning, misery in the end. He doesn't touch it. Happiness in the mode of passion is fantastic in the beginning and poison in the end. He says, phew. Then happiness in the mode of goodness is the medium fish. He says, no, nice, but no thank you. I don't want it. It's because it is still material. I don't want it. It's the big fish, the opportunities of Krishna consciousness, service, happiness in service. He grabs that situation. So he's very discerning what he will touch and not touch, what he will invest in and not in. Then he said, like a hen. So apparently, roosters and hen have a very specialized beak. Have you seen them? They're always pecking. Have you ever seen? They're always pecking. And they're pecking in garbage. But they never pick up garbage. They only pick up grain. They never by mistake say, not this one. Grain. The right thing. So he said, a devotee is like that, that in the middle of so much filth, they can see something good in someone and that's what they will take. They're very, very good at it. They're very advanced devotees like that. In the heap and pile of garbage in the heart, they will pick one grain of good quality and take it and use it in Krishna's service. He said, it's like salt. He said, salt has a unique characteristic. Wherever salt is, it gives life and taste to the preparation. If salt is less, everyone will notice. And if the salt is perfect, no one talks about the salt. No one says, today salt is nice. They all talk about the preparation, very nice preparation. So he said, devotee is like that, that he gives life to everything. He's there. But so much in the background that people don't even notice. So that's the quality of a devotee, where you never notice. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, the newspaper headline said, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement passes away. They did not know his name. Because Prabhupada is not interested that his name becomes him. Prabhupada is interested that the Hare Krishna words become famous all around the world. Just like salt, there, but doesn't take. I said, and it's like you. So Parashara Bhatta said, like you, because you in the beginning were treated very nicely. Then they started treating you a little bad. Don't sit here, do service, go sit there, near the door, out the door, whatever. They said, like you, because once you come into the association of devotees, after the nice, you know, can I make a plate of prasadam for you phase, can you make a plate for me phase, to I eat and you stay phase, to who are you phase, to the devotee is very tolerant. He doesn't harbor anything negative towards them. He said that they were actually testing you. They were pushing your buttons to see how far you can go, and you went quite far. So devotees like you. So that is Anantacharya's story. It's 8:30. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we will gather downstairs, those who are for the Ishta Goshti. quickly, and it'll be short today because there are this maha cleanup of the altar and this packed schedule. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. And thank you for joining us. It was very nice.